Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me, just like every single week, is manager Jacob.
Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm mildly nauseous right now because I get car sick very easily in the back of Uber specifically.
This is an ongoing saga for you before we record the podcast.
Every single week. So what most of you don't know, if you just listen, watch, whatever, is that I usually take about a 30-minute car ride to get here, and I'm so dumb. I know that looking at my phone makes me feel car sick, and yet every single week I look at my show notes as soon as I get in the car. I'm like, oh, I've prep time now. I can look at my show notes.
Are you like head down, or do you take a break? Do you try to take a break?
So I put my show notes. Well, I look at the show notes for about 2 minutes, and then I start to feel nauseous, and then I have to roll down the window.
Oh, that's enough, eh?
It's 2 minutes. It's like nothing, putting my head down. It's bad. And I have friends that can fully read books and cards. Anyways, this is not what we're talking about.
And this is also, like, not to pull up the curtain too much, but this is also rush hour when you're coming across town.
It's a lot of start and stop. Yeah. It's a lot of start and stop. So anyways, if my energy is low at the beginning and we get higher energy by the end, that would be the reason why. Anyways, all's to say is, what are you eating or drinking this week?
Okay, well, Sarah, I went with Haley. We went to the St. Lawrence Market this past weekend. Plans got canceled. So we're like, let's just have a chill day. Let's go to the market, get some food, run a couple of errands. How fun is the market? Is it just, and this is not just for Toronto. This is really any market in any big city. Walk through, basically scope out everything.
Is the new big part open yet?
It's not open yet. The new one across the street? No.
So it's opening soon, though, right?
I think so, yeah.
That's exciting.
But we scoped out every single vendor in the entire market and then settled on, there's like this little stall downstairs in St. Lawrence Market that does pierogies.
Ooh,
so we threw down a dozen. I think they were just potato and cheddar, but they were just ideal. And I sometimes forget about pierogies.
Yeah, they slap. They're so good.
And every culture has kind of like a very similar dish, but the pierogies just hit, and I'm in my pierogi era.
Are you gonna go like buy a bag of pierogies and just fry those bad boys up now? Or are you?
Yeah, well, that was the thing. So we just got some to eat like while we were there, but they had sitting in a freezer right beside.
Oh, you could
them.
Buy them.
They had like frozen pierogies. So I think I might be going back soon.
That's smart.
What about you? What are you eating or drinking this week?
I need to hit up the St. Lawrence Market.
Sarah, what about you? What are you eating or drinking this week?
So I don't know how many people would have seen on TikTok, but President's Choice has been taking it by storm because they ripped off the Trader Joe's sweet potato gnocchi.
Oh, we got a dupe.
So there's a dupe. Actually, some girl slid into my DMs and said, shh, but I have a friend that works for President's Choice and it's the exact same supplier as the Trader Joe's one. So it's literally the exact same. But I will say, so I have both, right? Because I'll buy like the sweet potato gnocchi from Trader Joe's. And if you don't know what this is, it's basically, well, it's sweet potato gnocchi, but there's like this butter sage sauce like already on it. So like, you don't put sauce on it. Oh, it's so good. It's like so yummy. And I just like devour the entire thing. I like the President's Choice one better.
Shockingly. Really?
I don't know like if there even really
a
is a difference.
Fresh or something.
No, it's the one from Trader Joe's gets mushy faster because it's like you have to be really like on top of it to make sure it doesn't get too mushy.
Yeah.
The President's Choice one is a little bit more give that way. Anyways, they're delicious. So when you do see them at like a Loblaws or any of those places, you need to buy them out. Like you need to buy a bunch because like literally every single time I go, they're sold out. I stocked up the last time I was there and now I just ran out. So I'm going to need to try and find some more. I know. It's such a good, like it literally takes 5 minutes to make. When you work from home, it's like the perfect little lunch snack. Anyways, it's worth the hype.
Loblaws, reach out and sponsor the pod. We'll do some live tasting.
Of just like sweet potato. Yeah. I know.
Sarah, what are we reading or watching this week?
So just last night, I watched May December. Have you seen it yet?
No. What is it?
So it's getting like Oscar hype. It's got Julianne Moore, Oscar winner, Natalie Portman, Oscar winner, and now Golden Globe nominee and former Riverdale star Charles Melton in it. Do you know who Charles Melton is?
Is he Archie?
No, okay. Anyways, it's incredible. So it's like a really messed up like story, like what it's based off of. I don't really want to tell people what it's about because I think that like gives part of like the drama of it is like learning what it's about as you watch it. But like highly recommend. His performance is incredible. Julianne Moore is just like always incredible and she's so good. And it's one of those movies that you like sit in and you feel so uncomfortable the whole time, but like in a really interesting way. It was really good. It's on Netflix. It's only like a couple hours long. Like it's not too like much of a, it's not like a 3 hour movie you have to commit to. May, December.
I'm going to check that out. And then I'm going to fire back at you. Cause I also last night watched a Netflix movie that just came out Leave the World Behind.
That was the one I was debating between, and like literally because it was like 2 hours and 20 minutes,
it's a little bit longer.
That
yeah.
was our deciding factor. I was like, I need the extra 20 minutes.
It does
sleep.
And I'm glad I didn't see the runtime before I started it, because I would have had the same thought. But it does keep moving, and I don't want to spoil anything, and there's a lot of buzz around.
Everyone
like
says
people
it's
kind
really
of being
freaky.
Disappointed, but it is freaky. Yeah, like Haley and I were watching it together, and Haley's someone who always is trying to guess the ending and guess like what's gonna happen next or what is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She even said out loud, like halfway through, she's like, I have no idea what's happening right here, like what's gonna happen next and this and that. Anyway, there's a little bit of contentiousness floating around TikTok because some people don't like the ending. I thought it was a good ending. And I would definitely recommend watching.
That's kind of the ending of May December as well.
Okay.
But I think it's those endings that make you like, if it's an ending that like is a little nuanced and leaves you like
yeah, it was totally an ending where you're like, let's jump on YouTube and watch like a breakdown, 20-minute breakdown of like someone else's thoughts on this.
Yeah, we were doing the same thing. We're hitting the Reddit threads to like see everybody else's opinions.
Okay, so we gotta swap these.
Yeah, we have to, and then we'll like come back and like regroup on it.
Yeah.
What are you listening to?
Okay, this is a little bit of a left field one from just like regular entertainment, like the movie I just mentioned. But I've been listening to a podcast that The Atlantic puts out. It's called How to Keep Time. They've released a few different podcasts that's kind of how to blank. That's a little limited series over the last, I think, 3 years. I'm a big fan of the Atlantic, the magazine. All of their articles that they put out are fantastic. And then the hosts that do How to Keep Time they're just fantastic. So they're just basically studying in each episode, and it's a little expose on something that has to do vaguely with the theme of time. It's a little bit existential. Like if you're having an existential crisis, maybe
between that
don't...
movie you just watched and then this, it feels like you could have
I've gone through a whirlwind of the last like say 24-48 hours. But one of the takeaways which I wrote down, I was just like, one of the hosts was talking about how time, even though time is finite, that's not a reason to just like rush through things and try to get everything done. The one episode that I just was listening to was how to waste time, essentially, and people feeling so rushed all the time to get through their to-do list, which is something that I am.
You should maybe
send
me that podcast.
I know. Well, I was halfway through listening to it. I was just like, maybe I'll send this to Sarah. So I wanted to vet it all the way to the end, but I'll send you that one. And anyway, really good. I thought it was like, this is one podcast that I immediately was like, I'm going to recommend to everyone to check out.
I like that.
Yeah. So that's what I've been listening to. Sweet. What about you?
I never know how to pronounce his name. Is it Hosier? Is it Hosier? Is it Hosier? Is it Hosier?
This is a tough one. I'm not going to be able to help you.
I always say Hosier, but I don't think that's correct. But then I have friends that say Hosier. Anyways, that Irish guy.
Yeah.
Which is like hilarious because I feel like it's very on brand, his type of music. And you would have assumed that I've been a fan for a long time. But
yeah.
Like, it kind of just birthed out of like me being obsessed with Noah Kahan. I'm like, I can't just keep listening to the same goddamn album over and over and over again. So I just like, you know, Spotify, like once you hit the end of an album, it'll just like start recommending songs.
Yeah.
So he just kept getting recommended. And I know Work Song is an old song, but now it's like all over TikTok. So then I'll like always listen to it. And then now I'm listening to that all the time. And so I'm just going through his whole discography
He's got a lot of music.
He has a lot of music. So I'm going through his whole discography. And then this is also me. Then I'm like, oh my God, I want to see him on tour now. I look up. Obviously, he was just in Toronto. And then he's doing another Europe/North America tour. And he's not coming back to Toronto. So I go, great.
Oh,
this is
well,
very
good,
on brand
maybe
for me.
Maybe a good reason to go to Europe, though.
I mean, I'm already going to be in Europe. And so then I thought that I was like, oh, great. Like, I'm going to be in Europe this summer. And then maybe I could just go see him after. And of course, he goes back to the States during the time frame,
oh,
which
no.
It would be convenient. Anyways, maybe not. But I am going through his whole discography, starting in his first album, going all the way through and just like listening a lot. Because
yeah.
I feel like it's very good, like December, cold, cozy vibe music.
Yeah.
And it's romantic as hell, the stuff he writes.
There's some, honestly, there are a couple pump up songs too. I'm not kidding. I was just driving over here to record and his collaboration with Mavis Staples came on.
Oh, interesting.
Big, okay. I used to run to that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Maybe add to the winter running playlist.
So if you're like heading up a hill or something.
I feel like
song.
I'm so late to the game and I feel like all of these, there's all these like girls, you know,
isn't
like,
it fun though to discover an artist that's like got a ton of material?
And it's like
though.
So it's like saying discover, it's like I know all of his big songs, but it's like, yeah, and more so my first time diving in.
Yeah, yeah,
which is exciting. Where is somewhere you went this week?
Okay, I was on the edge of if I was gonna do this or not, and I almost didn't, but then people rallied and were like, we gotta go do this, and I was like, you're right, we should. I took
a year
off. I was
like, don't bury the lead. Like, what is this?
I took a year off last year, but I did 12 pubs.
12 pubs? 12, what's that?
12 pubs of Christmas. You ever done it?
Well, I did 12 bars when I was in university, but that was like an organized thing.
And the same thing.
But like, do you make it up yourself or is it like an actual organized thing?
Well, okay. It was just in a friend group. So my friend Ronnie
puts it together.
Yeah. And then he just invites everyone. So a bunch of us went out. Yeah. And it was kind of, I didn't do 12. I only ended up doing 6. But 6 was enough, honestly, for me.
That's still a lot.
Luckily, though, it was all in Kensington Market for the most part.
True. Like
we kind of stayed in a 3-block radius for the entire night. Hit a couple of spots that I'd never been to, which was pretty cool.
Like
and then
kind
of just El Rey. El Rey is an amazing cocktail bar. And apparently they have a great patio in the summertime. Yeah, so check that out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And then, but yeah, it was a time. I hadn't been to Kensington in a long time. So I was checking out new places, but also going to some old haunts and flashing back to like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But then it was also fun because it was a little bit, not like a movie in the sense that, my last night was a movie, but just, I was like reconnecting with some old friends I hadn't seen in a while who were coming out to bars. And like the first bar we were at, I think there was a group of 8 of us. And by the end, there was a group of like 20 something.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it was
Did
kind
anyone
of fun
complete
to grow.
The full 12? Like I the guy that organized
believed
it?
I believe he did. He might have come one bar short, but I took
Is
off
there a
it,
rule like you have to have a drink at every single bar?
Yes, one drink at every bar.
That's a lot. That's
I also didn't
12?
Do a drink. I also didn't do a drink at the last bar.
Yeah, I only did 5. Yeah. You did less than half of them. I don't blame you though, honestly. Like 12 bars, like when I was in university, was a feat. And we didn't even, you never even did all 12. You only ever did like 5 of them.
It is, I wouldn't, it's not something I would necessarily recommend on the drinking aspect of it.
Yeah.
Maybe work some waters in there. But on the fun aspect,
yeah,
I was like
that.
You know what?
That's
I'm
up
glad
my alley.
I returned to
it's
it
up
this
my
year.
Alley. I like it.
What about you? Somewhere you went this week?
Well, I went the place that you went to, the Toronto Winter Distillery Winter Village Christmas
the
Market.
The place that I said was super classy.
Oh my God.
And worth it?
Okay, so I'm happy I didn't pay to go. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
So when I used to, I don't know the last time I went, like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, and so when you used to go, there was a lot more like little trinket shops and like little booths with like people selling things.
Okay, I agree
They've
with that.
Replaced,
the fudge guy was gone.
Yeah, so they don't have that anymore. They've replaced them all with like food and drink.
Yeah,
which I understand from like a corporate standpoint. You want people just to stay and like eat and drink and walk around and get their Instagram photos, whatever. But it sucks because like I actually used to buy really good Christmas presents at the market because it was a market. It's not called a market anymore. I understand that it's a winter village now. So maybe the winter village doesn't have the fudge guy or the people that sell ornaments.
Right.
But there's like a few like little stands. But other than that, I was like really just like underwhelmed and a little disappointed that there's not like, they used to have like down that main like strip on the distillery, like all of those, like all the way down the side, they'd have like all these little huts with all these different stores and stuff.
Okay, I could see
so
that.
I was a little disappointed. Just ended up eating at Mill Street, like classic, like the only place to eat in that place for a sit down. So it was fine. It wasn't that busy, so it was okay. I got my photo of the Dior tree, which I really want to know how much they paid to sponsor.
It's got
to
be like $1 million.
It has to be. For how many? I mean, think about it. Every single person that posts a photo, it's the Dior tree. Any of you work there or work for the Toronto Christmas Winter
Spill
Village
the tea
thing,
on
I want to know
the price point of the
sponsorship. I want to know how much it was.
Should we just inquire and say talking fast
next year?
Sponsoring the 2024 tree.
We send out an RFP or whatever.
Please. Okay. Well, I'm sorry that I recommended it. So
No. It's not. It wasn't like, I think if you want to go do the cutesy little Christmas thing, whatever. But I just like, I just was disappointed because I didn't like it as much as I have in past years.
I get that. I will give a shout out then to the Hogtown Flea here in the East End, who's run by the coffee and clothing people. It's on this weekend on the 17th.
Oh, it is?
And it's amazing.
Oh, I'm
in
gone.
In terms of little vendors, vintage clothing, there's a coffee pop-up. Yeah. There's a drinks pop-up.
There's
and
also
cake sometimes, as well as like food vendors outside. That is like way more of a.
And if you don't
want
to go all the way to the East End, there's also that little market that's been running that I've been going to every weekend on the corner of Queen and Shaw.
Oh yeah.
Near Ossington, and it's like a pop up, and they have different vendors. They have like really cool candle stop. They have a really cool candle shop. They also have like flash tattoos and stuff like that.
So what's this place? Yeah, what tattoos at markets are a new thing.
It's like a new thing.
It's true. Sarah, something you did this week.
I wrapped all my Christmas presents. So I've done all my Christmas shopping and I wrapped all my Christmas presents.
This is impressive.
And so I'm going to Montreal this weekend, and Kate immediately replied to my Instagram story. I was like, great. I'm glad you think wrapping is relaxing. So guess what you're doing the entire time you're here with me in Montreal. But I do find wrapping. But then also I was getting an alarming amount of like responses to my Instagram story being like, oh my gosh, like how'd you learn to wrap so well? Like you wrap so nicely. Did your parents not teach you how to wrap presents? Like, I'm shocked by this. Like,
I got taught how to teach, and I am awful at it still.
maybe
or taught how to wrap.
I mean, look, my parents did own a toy store when I was a child, and like part of the thing was they would wrap presents.
Whoa,
as part
this
of
is
it.
Like your Hallmark movie lore.
Yeah, I know, I know. It was once upon a time ago they owned a toy store, and maybe that's part of it, or maybe just because my mom was always such a meticulous wrapper. But like, I just have always known how to wrap Christmas presents, and I'm not even the best one. Like my mom and my sisters give me shit because like my corners aren't as tight and I like don't do it as cleanly.
Is it
but
therapeutic for you?
I love it. Yeah. I was saying in my self-care Sunday vlog, I love having something to do. I think that's why I like making the bracelets and stuff, because something to do while I watch TV or listen to music that's not being on my phone. And that's why I like wrapping, because it's like kind of feels like an arts and crafts thing, but it's mindless for me because I can just do it so easily. Yeah. What about you? Do you find it stressful?
I find it very stressful. And even if like I couldn't multitask, if I was watching a movie while that happens, I would definitely, it would look like a ball, even if it was like
really?
The perfect cube. Yeah, I always, Haley and I were talking about this the other day, because I finally started Christmas shopping, so stuff's coming in, we're picking things up. But anyway, I was like, well, let's have a day. I didn't say that. She said that.
It's more on brand. I was like, you suggested.
She's going to be like, she's going to listen to this and she's going to say, I suggest that. You definitely didn't suggest
for
that.
Sure.
But she's like, let's sit down and have like a, probably next weekend, sit down and wrap everything. Yeah. And I was like, well, I can cut the tape and
oh my God.
Like maybe cut the paper and then I'll observe and run the Netflix, like make sure the volume's good on the TV.
Were you guys a household that had presents wrapped? Because I do know there's some people that their presents never came wrapped.
Yeah, 100%. They were wrapped to a T.
Yeah. You just didn't just carry on that
never
tradition.
Never picked that up. I'm really good at unwrapping gifts.
Yeah. I was saying that I could understand, because I put up a poll on Instagram being like, do you find wrapping stressful or therapeutic? Because I like find it very therapeutic, but I could understand why it would be stressful if you're like a parent wrapping Christmas presents like the night before Christmas or something. Yeah, that'd be a lot.
Yeah, well, something I did this week that's kind of on the same topic, maybe you'll get one, who knows. Haley and I also put together a Christmas card.
You did? Like you went to a place and you took
a
photo?
We did it at my apartment. So we.
But still, that's funny.
Yeah, we.
Is
honestly
it funny? Is it a funny card or is it like
kind
a,
of a? It's
cute,
kind of a funny card.
Cute card.
I don't want to spoil it.
Wow, I want a Christmas card really badly.
And I hope it turns out, because we were like.
Is Brooklyn in the card?
No.
It's just the two of you?
Yeah, Brooklyn was away. But she'll be back. So maybe we'll do a card version two in this weekend.
Oh my God, you've reached Christmas card age where you send out a Christmas card.
I know, I've never done that.
Have I ever given out a Christmas card?
I don't even think I did that as a kid.
I've never done it either.
Did your family
My
never
family
did.
Did.
You did.
Okay. Oh, but not of like a photo of us. My mom would just send out like, you know, those like Christmas letters,
like a newsletter, would, of like a update newsletter. Of the year?
Yeah, that's what my mom would do.
I honestly wish people still did those because I love reading them. Yeah. And just like getting tea on families.
My mom would give an update to like, because my mom's like the youngest of 14 kids, so yeah, like all my aunts and uncles and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, you
kind of yeah,
need a newsletter.
They then literally needed the newsletter, so we would do that. But we never took like a photo, really. I remember we did it. My dad took us one time to Walmart to do
that'd
it.
Be a, would that they don't do that anymore?
No.
Yeah, that'd be a cute gift for your parents. You should like do a newsletter for your family.
Oh, okay. Mom and Dad, don't listen to this podcast episode. So unfortunately, Taylor Swift was booked tonight because she was also at the Time Person of the Year dinner.
I know, we
so
had a whole thing planned. I even brought the seat out,
I know,
ready to go.
Taylor was going to be here. I'm wearing like the Taylor shirt that I was sent.
Right, yeah, the Gant.
So anyways, okay, so real talk. We were supposed to have a guest. We were sitting here waiting for them and some things happen. Our guest can't make it anymore. And this is just the reality of living life on the edge of podcasting, apparently.
Well, we also talked about it. I mean, like, you were stop and go traffic for the ride over
that's
here.
That's true.
And
we did.
You know
we
what? There's traffic
it
out there.
There's
so
traffic out there in
maybe
the city
I jinxed
of Toronto.
It.
You probably did. It's all Jacob's fault. Anyways, our guest isn't here. And so we just actually messaged in the broadcast channel. So if you're not part of that, you should definitely join my broadcast channel. It's called POV. You're on my close friends. I send photos, polls, questions, whatever. So we're going to do a little early voicemail episode because we have a couple special episodes coming this month with a Christmas episode and a New Year, New You setting goals episode yeah, as well. So we decided to move up voicemail. So we got a bunch of questions. The way we're going to do this voicemail, though, because we didn't like prep our answers like we normally do, is Jacob's going to ask a question, then I will. We'll go back and forth. And
we got some good ones.
We got some
came
good
out
ones
really quickly
shout out,
with some great questions.
Shout out the broadcast channel. I was sent a photo of me sad. I said I was desperate and they came through. So if you're in that channel, thank you so much. And if you're not, this is your sign to join it.
Okay, Sarah, I got number one question here. Well, it's not the number one question.
It's
just
the
first
question.
If you weren't working in sports, what would you want to be doing?
That's a great question. I never intended to work in sports at first. Like I kind of fell into sports media once like the sport media program opened up, but I always knew I wanted to work in media and entertainment. At one point I wanted to be a much music VJ. At one point I wanted to be like an actor or something. I don't know. I've just always been like in the entertainment realm, which is I wanted to be a talk show host and now I'm a talk show host
yeah,
technically. So I've always wanted to do entertainment. I will be honest and I will say this on this podcast and it will not be a surprise to anyone. I do not plan on working in sports for the rest of my life, believe it or not. I have goals in sports. I have things I want to do, like going to an Olympics, etc. But this is not going to be long-term for me. I've never dreamed of just working long-term in sports media. I've just used it as a stepping stone. And I think you can learn so much from sports, especially in the media industry with like live and there's just so many different elements.
What have some of
it
the highlights been for your career?
Oh my God, this makes
so
it sound
far,
like
then
I'm retiring right now.
Well,
but
no,
I'm not.
But like,
I'm
not
it's retiring.
Not, like, but it's stuff that you maybe have learned that's already helping you in other areas of your life, whether it's your career or personal life or something,
yeah,
or someone that you met that was a really interesting athlete or personality.
Oh, that's a great question. Well, what was really cool was one of my first jobs with Yahoo was I got to work on Danny Green's podcast when he was here in Toronto,
right, yeah,
who was part of the Toronto Raptors. And like we had different Raptors coming in every week. And that was my first time working on like a player driven thing. And that really showed me the power of like players own voice and like players like being the ones and like athletes being the ones that are delivering the message. And so I definitely wanted to work more in that realm and found like a way to like speak like from the athlete's perspective as opposed to just like a reporter reporting on them and like how much more impactful it is when you can just tell the story of
well,
the
that
athlete
probably
themselves
has changed so much in the what however many years,
yeah,
years you've been working.
Yeah, 100%. Well, like we were at that time doing the only player podcast of someone that was active
and
in
now
the NBA.
Every player has
and well now look at Travis Kelce, right? Like Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce having New Heights, like that's not like new per se. Like we were doing that 5 years ago. So I think that's definitely changed. I don't know. I've learned so much. Like working like five Olympic games, and it really like teaches you a lot about like stress levels, how to handle stress, how to handle just like when so much is happening at once and just moving on when something doesn't go right and just like problem solving and all these things. It's really helped with like my work-life balance and like how I handle stress at work for sure. And just stressful situations in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, all to say is the root of the question was, if you weren't working in sports, what would you want to do? A goal in life for me, which actually I don't know if I've ever talked about this podcast, is to make a film or a movie, at least one. I mean, I'd like to make movies. That would be the goal. I'm a producer by trade, and I would like to transfer that into making rom-coms, to be honest, like making the type of stuff that I like to read. I would like to take the books that I read and put them on the screen.
Would you strictly produce, or do you have any interest in like directing or anything like that?
I got asked this like really recently when I was telling someone. I think I have the right tools to become a director eventually and like the vision, but I think I'd want to be a hands-on producer, showrunner first, and then see, like, I didn't even know what I wanted to be a producer until I started doing it. Like, you don't, yeah. It's one of those things you don't realize until you're kind of doing it.
I feel like producers also kind of fall into it with people who have just like natural abilities.
Sure. Yeah,
with
sure.
Like you said, managing stressful situations.
Like, look, I don't need to be a director if like Greta Gerwig is working as my director, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So, no, but also say it's like, I do think directing down the road would be really cool, but I just love hiring really good people and like bringing really good people together. So I think that's why like being a producer has always been my favorite thing. It's like being the general manager or coach that's like putting together the best team. So that's kind of the goal. So one day I would like to make a movie. It doesn't have to be an Oscar nominated movie. It could just literally be one that you rewatch on Netflix a couple times. So that's the goal one day. Next question for voicemail. What is your most proud accomplishment this year, Jacob?
Ooh.
Or the accomplishment you are most proud of?
I feel it's a good question because I feel like throughout the year, and we've almost been doing the podcast for an entire
crazy
year now.
Yeah, Izzy wants to host a birthday party or like a one-year birthday party.
There was a cake at
the
first
one. I know. Shout out Julia and Naomi. I know.
So there should be a cake every year.
There should be.
We should realistically have a cake every episode.
My favorite part about that was actually it took Naomi into, like, we hung out after the first episode.
Yeah.
And I was like thanking them again. And then it was like 3 hours later, she looks at me. She goes, oh, I'm like, what? She goes, you don't even like cake. And I was like, yeah, like, true.
Did you eat it?
No.
A cake went to waste. How could you
it
not bring that
to
me?
It didn't go to waste. Nolan ate it. We were fine.
Oh, okay.
But anyways.
Okay.
Anyways.
Oh my God. Well, we just got sidetracked by cake that I completely forgotten what the question was.
Proudest accomplishment this
year. Oh, yeah. I was saying that we've kind of touched in throughout the year with like goals that we had and whatnot.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's tough to pick just one. I think like one of the first ones that I set for myself for the year, and this is throwback, hopefully people aren't tired of us talking about it, but running was I wanted to lower my marathon time. And I did
and
that
did
early
that.
On in the year. Yeah. And then there were a lot of
by
setbacks.
By like a lot too. Like don't like undersell that. You lowered it by like 45
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, it was like 45 minutes. So I cut off a good amount of time, which was like a big goal that I had for several months before 2023 kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I think we've talked about this too, but there were a bunch of other setbacks in me not accomplishing running goals beyond that. So like a tag on to that would probably be just like trying to take care of myself more. And one of those things was physiotherapy. So it's a little bit of a
physio.
Balancing act.
I love that.
Yeah, not just the physio, but getting to a place where like, you know what? Maybe I will go to the doctor to actually take care of something as opposed to pushing through. So
I like that.
Yeah, I would say that. What about you?
I think the half marathon is my most proud accomplishment
yeah?
this year.
That's a huge one.
I mean, like this podcast is obviously one, but I feel like it's really hard for me to fathom that that's only been 2023 because we started working on it in 2022.
I know.
So I think I don't really necessarily see it as like a goal from this year. I think the half marathon, when I really think about it, because I never thought I would be someone that would like willingly run. And then just on a day in May, I randomly like went for a 2 kilometer run. And then the next day I went, oh, I'm going to sign up for the half marathon. So I have a goal, which is
yeah.
insane in hindsight, but it's become a new like hobby I really enjoy. I love that you can like tangibly see success from like you get like your improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought I would actually like do that. I would always watch people run and like be like, oh, that's so cool. I'd love to do that. So I think that's my proudest one. And I don't usually like cry when I'm like proud of myself. And that was a time I cried.
Finish line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Partially because of pain and then partially because of being proud of myself. But it's
well,
crazy.
It is. It's there's no other feeling than like getting to the finish line of a race, especially mm-hmm. when you've had months and months of training leading yeah. up to it. And everything. It's an overwhelming feeling, but it's so it's yeah. positive and you, but also, yeah, you might yeah. be hurt. So it's the physical challenge that you've kind of just accomplished as well. It's everything.
Well, and because I had just like focused in on like when I was training and I was like on a 10 or like 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever kilometer run, I just would focus on like, think of how you're going to feel when you're done. Think of how you're like, that was like my motivating factor, was like the finish line feeling and how I would feel when I did cross it. Mm-hmm. That's why I made sure like the song I chose when I was like finishing was like important. I was like, I wanted a song that like makes me feel like uplifted and like, it was Out of the Woods by Taylor Swift. But like, I just, all of it, like when I was training, I was picturing, like, it was like I was manifesting, like picturing, like visualizing like an athlete, like that moment. And then when I did it, and I did it in my time, and I hit my time goal, I did all these things, like it was, yeah, it's, well, that's still kind of the thing part, I'm most
like
proud of. About
producing a film, that's kind of you as well, maybe a bit of directing, but like, mm-hmm. the months leading up, you kind of told your own story, and then you got 100%. To the moment of like the climax of the film, and then
it was a lot. I mean, I will say the dip in the storyline was a lot more of a dip,
but people
than
need
I
the dips, you know, you need the dips to make the goal.
Like, I never thought I was gonna have to be like, I almost started crying like at like kilometer 16, and I literally slapped myself in the face while I was running it. You little bitch, you don't get to cry till you're done. Like, that's okay. How I was motivating myself, because I was like, what else
it's
am I gonna do?
It's also tough. Like, way tough. Back years ago, I did this running campaign and I did 10 half marathons cross country in 23 days, raising money for
you. Did that?
Yeah, raising money for CAMH. And
oh my god, here I'm being like, I'm so proud of my well, one no, half. No, you did that many?
I'm not trying to compare at all, I'm just saying like, there was one I did in Montreal. And it was, Montreal was like, I think the 8th or 9th. So it was like right before the end. And I think it was the 9th, because the last one I did in my hometown with like family around and everything.
Oh,
like
that's
that.
Cool.
So I was at, I think like kilometer, it was half. So it was kilometer like 17 or something like that, or 18. And I started thinking about the last run that was coming up in a couple of days and like, God, I get a little emotional. Yeah. So I started crying a little bit. But then I was like, I just can't think about this because it's hard to breathe.
Yeah.
I was like, if I continue crying and like, if I don't block out my emotions, like, at least for the next few kilometers, I'm going to collapse and die of like lack
mine
of
was,
oxygen.
Mine was more like, I just kept telling myself, like, you don't get to cry in pain. You can only cry like happy when you're done. Like, that was like my motive. Like, anyway, so that's my proudest one for sure.
Those are good ones.
Those are both good ones. It's your turn to ask a question.
Okay. If you could have dinner with three fictional characters, who would they be?
This is a very difficult question on the spot.
Yeah. And you can't do it with like, it can't be actors who play a fictional character.
Like, it's
you know
the
what I mean?
Character.
Like, it's the character. Yeah, yeah.
It's the character. I feel like this is a good like dinner party question. Like, when you, I can tell you a lot about a person.
I have one.
Okay, you go. Who's your first one?
I would go Deadpool. But like Deadpool from, let's shout out Deadpool coming out 3 next year.
I've never seen any of the Deadpool movies.
No?
No. I know.
Okay.
It feels
I would just like the little dark comedy aspect of it. So we're getting, you know, we're getting some edginess at the dinner table to begin with. We and want someone who's putting everyone else on their toes.
Okay.
And I would go with that.
Okay. I would like Joe March.
Who's that?
From Little Women.
Oh, okay.
You told me you were going to watch Little Women.
I know. It's on my list. Still.
Joe March from Little Women, the 2019 Greta Gerwig version. I really need to know if she ends up with, I don't want to spoil anything. If she ends up with the person, Little Women's a book that came out in like the early 1900s, and I'm like trying not to spoil it. And I need to know really why she doesn't pick Lori. So I don't know.
Ooh,
that's
okay.
I want Joe March. I want Nick from New Girl.
Oh,
comedic relief.
Obviously, that's funny. That's a good one.
Nick from New Girl, comedic relief.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I'm going to throw out a wild one. I'm going to go Big Bird from Sesame Street. I'm going to go Big Bird.
Why?
Just
like word throw, to Big Bird.
Throw something a little wacky, you know? But maybe we'd also learn something because Big Bird's always coming with the facts.
I feel like my answer would be like so much more like thought out and profound if this wasn't on the spot. But I like, oh my God, number three. I don't know who the third one would be. Who would be like Joe March would be like, take everything
now
so seriously.
Yeah, you gotta balance
and then
this
Nick,
out.
Nick is just like, picturing him with like a woman from like the 1800s at a table is also hilarious.
If John Cena, does John Cena count?
No, because that's, just told him you can't be
yeah,
based
but
off the person.
John Cena also
like the
has
WWE
kind of a character.
Like him as WWE. Pick John Cena.
Yeah, this is tough off the top of the head.
Okay, I'm gonna go with. I'm trying to. I need some like. Music. I need like someone
okay.
that can sing. I need like. Do you know what? It's on the top of my head because it's like he got a star in the Walk of Fame today. We'll go Troy Bolton.
Oh, go Wildcats!
Yeah, because he said go Wildcats.
Get your head in the game.
Yeah, and so
the
he
boys
can
are
sing.
Back.
He can sing or play basketball, and I think he can entertain.
He
Nick.
Might be a little annoying because he's definitely bringing like two basketballs to the dinner table and he's bouncing
maybe,
them back and forth.
But that's literally the first person that popped into my head. So Troy Bolton, Nick Miller, and Joe March from Little
okay,
Women.
Okay, you know what? Then you know what? I'm gonna steal one from you team. From the HSM universe.
Okay.
And because I've already got Deadpool, Big Bird, I'm just gonna commit to the chaos that is this dinner party, and I'm gonna go Sharpay Evans from High School Musical. She's gonna bring a
wow.
little bitchiness. She's gonna bring a little
what
ego,
a
and absolutely no heart.
And she'll bring the fashion, the style. She'll like
yeah, oh, 100%.
She'll give it. Wow, what a do you know what? I'd be very curious if we had have had more time to think about that. What our trios would have been?
I don't think mine would change.
Mine would absolutely not be that, but we'll see. We've talked about stuff about like moving before. We've talked about moving to Toronto specifically, but one of the questions we got was just tips for moving out of your parents' house in general. Like you're,
right.
or if you're somebody that's just maybe like you've gone to school and then now, or maybe you're going to school, but tips for like leaving. How old were you when you left?
I was 19, one of the two.
Okay.
Coming to Toronto for
okay. So your leaving was coming to university. Okay. So like,
yeah.
What tips would you have for somebody that's
ooh, okay.
In that
if I was gonna do it again,
life.
Because I think I've talked about this in podcasts. I moved to Toronto and I was going to move with a few friends. Like mm-hmm. we were fully gonna get an apartment together, and then that kind of fell apart. We're like, oh, we'll just stay in residence because we were mm-hmm. going to a couple of different universities. Then that fell apart, and none of them came, and I was the only one here. So I didn't have any friends. I was like making friends new in the city.
Okay.
But what I did, because I was like, it's also a little lonely, is and Waterloo's pretty close by. I went back home pretty frequently
so you
in my
would,
first year.
Would
I
you think
if I was going to do it again, I would go back home less frequently.
Mm.
It's comforting, but also like part of moving out, especially for the first time, I think is about pushing your comfort zone.
I never went back home.
Never.
I was really bad. I was going to say the opposite. I was going to be like, tips from being at your parents' house. Maybe call your parents a little
bit really?
More.
Oh, really? Okay, let's find
really
a balance in the middle then.
There definitely is a balance. Yeah, when I moved out, I was kind of like, see you guys later. See you at Thanksgiving. Like, that was my mentality.
Okay.
And I left. But if you're just looking for like tips on actually like what it takes to move out of out of your parents' house, I mean, I would just say the first thing is like, you're probably going to need roommates, so maybe find yeah. some people to live with.
Hit a Winners or a discount store to stock up on the stuff that you
yeah.
need, because you need a lot.
And also, that's what I was going to say is, as you're like, if you know you're moving, I actually saw this on TikTok today. This girl like had like a bin and it was like my moving out bin. She wasn't moving out for like 6 months.
Great
but
idea.
What she would do is, as things were on sale or as she came across things for her house or her apartment that she was going to move into, she would just buy it and then put it in the bin. So then instead of, because when you're moving out, and especially if you're moving into your parents' house where they make you all your meals and you're like living the good life, and then suddenly you have to pay for all these things and buy all these things, and it feels like such a mass expense. It feels like you have to have like $15,000 in your bank account to like do all these things at once. If you're doing it like at a little bit at a time, I think it probably helps a lot more.
I did that actually a little bit. I didn't get everything, but I did have a couple of bins. And yeah. One of the other things too is like, if you let your kind of family and friends know that you're doing that, someone's got to have an extra toaster kicking around that they got for as sure. a random like gift, right? For a birthday or something yeah. like that. And who wants a toaster for a birthday? So they're going to donate it to your cause.
Yeah, they'll donate it to you.
And take advantage of some of that yeah. stuff, because yeah, it adds up. And first and last month's rent is not cheap.
It's not. Or like maybe like if you're doing this over like 6 months, like maybe when you and mom go to Walmart and she's picking up cleaning supplies for herself, maybe she'll like, oh, pick up like a little extra free. Like I think
you just sneak a couple things
yeah,
in the
just
cart.
Just like plan in advance, because you can't do it with a full grocery cart. That seems overwhelming. But if you just like slowly start to do it, I feel like it will save you time and money down the road and be less overwhelming.
And then if there are ways that you can kind of take advantage of, say, a support system that you do have, if you're able to travel back home every yeah. now and then, because there is the balance, like we said.
Yeah.
I, you know, take some dirty laundry and like get yeah, that stuff done if you don't have in unit.
Or convince your parents to come visit you and then they go take you for the grocery shop. That was my personal favorite. Or they do
the
your laundry
out
for
or
you
like
or the
that
dinner
was
out.
Always nice. Yeah.
That's always the best. So you'll definitely look forward to those times more. But moving into your parents' house is a really exciting time. And I know like it's a lot, looks a lot different for people now. Like I know just with the realities of how much it costs, mm-hmm. the cost of living and everything, but it's a really exciting time. But yeah, I think like approaching it gradually is like a really in it, like less scary way of doing it as well.
And if you do have roommates, which you probably will,
yeah.
talk about who's doing the dishes when.
Right from
right
the beginning.
Away,
right from the beginning. We tried to do a passive aggressive chore chart and we never did it. We
Day
never
one,
did it.
Just be like, let's get on top
or
of
it. Or just like be real. Day one, I went, look, I hate dishes. I will do everything to avoid it.
Yeah.
So I can pick up slack elsewhere. And then my roommates went, great. I don't mind doing the dishes, but if you like take out the garbage or do this, and that's like
finding like, where you fit where in you and fit. Like when you can lean on each other is huge.
Because I just like, look, I just hate a dish. I hate a dish. I hate washing it still to this day. And if you can just be honest about that, then you're good to go.
100%. Another question for voicemail, Sarah, who have you met that's a celebrity and was the nicest?
The nicest celebrities I've ever met.
We've both met some celebrities in our past.
Yeah, in our past. I used to like camp outside Much Music to try and meet celebrities. I think the nicest celebrities I've met was One Direction.
Really?
Because.
All of them?
All of them. If you didn't know, I was on a Canadian television program in which I was surprised with One Direction when I was 15 years old. And there's some very embarrassing videos of me on the internet out there being surprised meeting One Direction.
Who is the least nice member of One Direction?
That's literally why I will say there wasn't one, because
really?
It was like a 45-minute thing. They were doing an interview, but like they just kept getting distracted during the interview and talking to us the whole time. And like they were all so nice. I think the reason they like are on the top of the pedestal for me is because I had met other teen heartthrobs who I
put
loved and adored
who weren't nice. On this podcast, I said that Cher Lloyd sucks and I stand behind that.
I had met Justin Bieber and he wasn't nice. So I think that broke my heart. So the fact that One Direction, and this is like them on the rise of their peak. This is 2012. They're like, it's like about to be One Direction mania. Mm-hmm. And they were still like so kind and like talked to everyone and introduced themselves. And like maybe if I met them a year later, it would have been different. But at that time in March of 2012, they were like the sweetest people and they were all so kind. And then I got to actually meet Niall again this past year because he like
right.
came through my work and like did interviews and stuff and was like just as nice and kind. So I think that they're probably like my holy grail. And also it's just kind of cool to say I met like them in their peak, all five of them.
Good.
But all of them were nice. There was no douchebags in the group. How about you?
That's nice. Okay, I used to shoot celebrity interviews like way back in the day. I think that Childish Gambino is actually one of the top ones. And I think that that might be Donald Glover. Donald Glover, yeah, just because he's so cool. Such a cool person. And you can tell that, like,
makes me happy.
I think that one of the things that turned me off from certain celebrity interactions is when you can kind of tell that they have been, like, really well media trained and they're kind of just running through the process of doing an interview or meeting a fan or something like that. And it's frivolous and you can kind of tell that the interaction doesn't really mean that much to them and they're not really thinking about what they're saying. But he's someone who's, like, he came across very thoughtful, took his time with what he was saying. He's not, like, sitting there trying to make best friends with me by any means, but, like, there's a big difference between being kind and, like, and, you know, being an approachable person and just being someone who just, like, doesn't want to give you the time of day, which is pretty often sometimes.
I know it happens a lot of the time.
Yeah, especially when you're doing press and that kind of stuff. I get it. They're probably tired. They're doing a ton of it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to necessarily be talking to you. But, yeah, that makes the people who stand apart when they actually are super nice. And he's also just, like, a really talented musician and
funny
guy. He's so
cool. And actor.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. My God. I really like this next question. And, again, it's, like, the whole point of this version of voicemails. There's a lot of whiplash going on. It kind of goes all over the place. But, Jacob, how do you deal with shitty mental health days?
Ooh, how do you deal with them? Try to get through it. Let's be honest. Try to survive
it. You personally, though, do you just put on your running shoes and go run 15K? Or, like, what do you do?
It's either really high like that or really low. So one of them would be, let's get on the Peloton bike or let's get in on the running shoes, and go out for a run. Or it's like, let's just lay in bed and take stock of things. And actually writing in that lower scenario where it's like, okay, all I can manage to do today is, like, let's just chill and lie down and relax.
Yeah.
Not go out and see anyone or anything like that. Writing is a big one in that case. And it can be just, like, free form, like, off the top of my head, like, journaling.
Like, I was gonna say, like, journaling. Is that what you do?
Yeah. Just essentially, like, to get my mind moving in some way that is not just, like, doom scrolling.
I was gonna say,
TikTok,
do you, like,
or Instagram or something.
Do you
like
write
that,
like, how you're feeling, or, like, what do you write about?
Sometimes it could be like, write how I'm feeling, or write about, you know, honestly anything. It could be like just telling the story of something that happened in the past. It doesn't have to be traumatic or anything like that. Getting my mind moving a little bit, because I think that one thing for me, especially on, like, those tough mental health days, is staying stagnant is, like, the worst case scenario, because then my mind starts to spiral and whatnot. So if it is a day, again, like I said, that I don't have the motivation to go out and be running all the time, which is running's the thing that helps me with my mental health. Some days you can't do that.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't.
So getting out of your routine in some way, even if it's, like, writing in your notes app, because that's what I do, is what I would say.
Oh, I like that.
But it's tough. Yeah. What about you?
That's a great question. I'd actually say I'm pretty much the same when it comes to the extremes. I either have, like, not necessarily, like, for sure going for a run, but I either, like, focus on other things and productivity, or I am a vegetable and don't do anything.
Yeah.
But I will say I give myself more grace and kindness on tough mental health days. I didn't used to. I used to just power through everything and, like, ignore it, put on a mask, say I'm fine, like, whatever. Now I really give myself grace. I'm not afraid to, like, let people know if I'm having a shitty mental health day, which is something I wouldn't have even done a year ago. But now I'm not afraid to be more open if I'm just, like, you know, like the niceties people do when you're like, oh, like, how are you doing today? And I'll literally...
Actually, that's a good one, yeah.
I'll go, oh, no, like, I'm not doing great today.
I'm fine.
No, I don't do, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Because
yeah,
it actually makes people more uncomfortable if you go, like, oh, it's fine. And it's like, you can hear
they
it
know
and they know,
because
then everyone's like, oh, okay. Like, I'm more honest, where I'll go, yeah, just, like, not doing great mentally today. And then they'll be like, oh, like, is there something you want to talk? Because then it also opens up if you do want to talk about it, then, like, sometimes they'll be like, oh, is there something you want to talk about? It's like, no, just one of those days, or, like, whatever. Like, I think
that's,
like,
a good point.
It doesn't give as much power to it when you allow yourself to just, like, be honest with the fact that you're having a bad mental health day, because most of the time it's not coming from something that triggered it, or nothing happened, or it's not because of anything other than just, like, for lack of a better term, waking up on the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah.
So I think it gives it less power when I allow myself to actually own the fact that I'm having a bad mental health day, as opposed to, it's fine, I'm fine, everything's fine.
And I like sharing that with others too, with the without the expectation that you have to explain yourself or like exactly. go into a ton of detail about that. I don't know if I think that this is right, but there's a really good Brené Brown talk that's been turned into an animation about essentially how to sit with someone or like appreciate someone who's going through a tough mental health mm-hmm. spell. And like one of them, or like the whole idea is that you're not trying to help someone out of it. Or you're not trying to look for help to get out of it, but like the best thing to do is either essentially be seen by yeah. someone in that state, as opposed to like trying to find a solution for something immediately. You're right. Sometimes it's just the knowing that like you're not carrying all mm-hmm. the baggage is enough to kind of, you know, at least give you a little bit of a light spot.
Well, and that's like newer for me because like I am such a solutions based person. So it's right. like learning to sit with things. Like it took a long time, but now I'm a lot better just like, allow, and it actually is more of a solution, just allowing myself the day to like own it that it's a bad day and then waking up fresh the next day, as opposed to like pretending it's not and then powering through it. And then I feel like then I end up with like five mediocre days where I'm just like trying yeah. to ignore it and suppress it, as opposed to just having one bad day. I'd rather have one bad mental health day that I just lean into than 7 days of mediocrity.
Now that I'm thinking about it, the podcast that I was talking about at the beginning of the show kind of yeah. ties into that, where it's cool. like not feeling like if you don't have the energy or something to go out and rush and get something done, it's really not beneficial for you mm-hmm. to A, feel bad about yourself because of that, or B, try to push through and get it done.
Yeah.
It's just like taking that time back. And yes, maybe in the back of your head, you think it's wasting time, but eventually you get to a point where you know that you're actually just taking care of yourself. Next voicemail question, Sarah, where are you planning on traveling next year?
Whoa. Okay. So my next travels, there's a potential big one that I can't talk about yet. And ooh. Then, yeah, woo, crazy. Short term, going to Florida in January.
Right.
Going to the land of Mickey Mouse.
Have you been to Florida before?
To Florida?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I was 9 years old though. I've only been once. Actually, I've only been to Florida one time my whole life.
That doesn't count.
Twice. I went to Fort Lauderdale before I got on a cruise ship. Again, though, like before
you're
I
went in transit. On a
cruise ship. I'm in transit.
So this is the first time you're going as like an adult to go and experience this.
Yes. First time as an adult. And I'm going with some first timers too, which is very exciting. Fun. So that's my first big one. You and I have been teasing a potential Los Angeles podcast trip. So that's hopefully happening in February. So if you guys have any people you'd want us to talk to out there, let us know. Or if you are someone that wants to talk to us while we're out there, let us know. I need to use vacation days and burn through them because they told me that they will be paying them out this year. And I'm not interested in that. I would like to use my days off.
Yeah. Speaking of taking some time.
I need to burn through some vacation days. So I'm playing around with the idea of doing St. Patrick's Day in Ireland.
Ooh, which I think would be fun.
I feel like putting it out there also like helps manifest it. So I'm playing around with that. Like people who watch the vlogs or anything would know, like one of my best friends, Amanda, goes to the University of Glasgow. So I just like to go visit her whenever I can
Guinness,
as well.
Hit the DMs.
Yeah. If Guinness wants to send me to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day, I wouldn't say no. No, but I'm probably going to do like a little like London, Scotland, maybe Ireland trip in March. I've done that the past 2 years and I love going at that time of year. Back to the cottage. I can't believe I've already like thought of this many travel plans that I'm doing over the next year because I like actually have a lot popping up. Oh, girlies are going to Nashville again. We're going back. May long weekend.
Huge.
We're going to Nashville. Our friend Alana, like literally 8 months ago, was like, I want to go to Nashville. And she's booked off that. She's a nurse, so she books off really far in advance. She's booked off that weekend and has been telling us that we're going. And we're like, all right. And then we booked an Airbnb.
Speaking about putting it out there and manifesting
something.
She
just manifested it. So we're going to go. I think we're going to pretend to be a different bride each night too and pretend it's our bachelorette
party. Is it
the
same people? Who's going? Like,
it's like a whole girl squad. Like half of the girls from New York, like that kind of vibe. Okay, so it'll be fine. Yeah, because like when I went last time, it was with Naomi and like the influencer girls. Yeah. So I'm going to go to Nashville. I'll go to my cottage a few times. Big potential mystery trip. And then the new one on the docket, which might happen, is now Bali in like September, October maybe. Because our friend Kat lives in Australia and it's like kind of like you can meet her there. And just anyways, so there's lots up in the air.
two of my other clients are in Bali. So if you want a house rental, I got a pretty nice one.
Amazing. We're making deals. Anyway, so I think actually 2024 will be a very big travel year for me, which is exciting. I know I've had like pretty big travel years the past years, but I think this one's going to be even bigger and better.
Wow. So fun.
I know.
Huge.
It's exciting. Me, what about you? Where are you
sitting
going?
Here being like, okay, well, the cottage build is going to be done.
And then you're going to want to spend all your time at
I
cottage.
Know. So that's going to be a big one. And then also you just mentioned the LA trip. And after that, so I was just floating to Haley the other day. What's close to LA is, well, close-ish, closer than here is Hawaii.
Oh, Cameron just got back from Hawaii.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she loved it.
I've never been. I've always wanted to go. Mm-hmm. Although I can't remember when it happens, but I would love to go for like the Ironman Championships out there.
And
not
compete.
Oh
my
no,
God. I was like, only you would be like, oh, I want to go to Hawaii, which is normally like a very like relaxing vacation for people. And you're like, but I'm actually going to do an Ironman.
No, I haven't got down the triathlon aspect of anything yet. I got to train my biking and swimming before I attempt that. But I've always wanted to go out there and A, relax, but then B, actually do a lot of running because they've got good running out there. So I'd love to go and do that.
That's it?
Maybe, I don't know, in the back of my head, I've always wanted to go to Portugal.
Oh, fun.
And then for a few years, and this hasn't happened yet, but myself and then a group of friends, we had this trip planned to the south of France to a castle before the pandemic happened.
And then
that got canceled because it was going to be in May. It was going to be for my birthday, 30th birthday in May of 2020. Obviously, it didn't happen. But then we were also planning on like a yacht Croatia trip.
Oh, one of those ones, like a yacht week thing?
A little bit, but like less partying and more laying on the front of a boat. And we're not talking a big yacht. We're talking like they call anything a yacht over there.
So speaking of travel, one of the questions that we actually got multiple times is, what is a favorite weekend destination? So like you want to do a little weekend trip. So let's maybe offer one that's like a driving distance and then one that can be like a little weekend trip on a hop, skip flight.
Ooh, okay.
If you have a favorite one.
Driving one for sure, Prince Edward County. Let's be honest.
We love PEC. Yeah. Shout out that area.
There's also an up and coming one, Jordan Station, which is around the other side of the Golden Horseshoe, right by Grimsby on the way to...
You're saying a lot of words that I don't know.
On the way to Niagara. It's like, it's wine region, but not
Niagara on
like
the lake.
Niagara on the Lake wine region.
Yeah, I will say if you're gonna pick one or the other, I would go to Niagara Lake is also great, but like it's a little bit overdone now of PEC. I'd go the other way.
Yeah,
say it like the Drake down there. That's so fun.
Yeah, and the difference in my mind right now is I'm like, I've talked about this all the time. I don't. The difference between the two is like Niagara on the Lake is like Instagram photos. Prince Edward County is like, let's get your hands dirty a little bit. Let's get in the fields and like feel the grapes.
Like you're like mashing the grapes with your feet like in like a tub.
It does feel a little bit less commercial.
It
over
does
there
feel less
and
commercial.
A little bit more homey and comforting. And
it's
and
more
that
like
kind of
like you're more likely to like. When my mom and my sisters and I would do it because I used to like live really close to it, we would just drive up and it's like it feels like you're driving up into just like someone's farm and they're like, oh
exactly.
Yeah, we'll do a wine tasting in the back, and it like feels very like low key but in a really great way.
Did you ever go to that place that's like the biggest apple thing, the pie place, the Big Apple?
The biggest, I cannot believe
called?
You just called it the Biggest
I've never
Apple.
Been,
it's called
so I don't know.
The Big Apple. That's in Colborne, Ontario. Shout out. I used to work there. Not at the Big Apple. I used to work in Colborne. And then we would take our camp kids to the Big Apple.
Okay.
Because they had like goats and
good
stuff.
Good pies?
No.
Oh, okay. I know. That's disappointing.
Okay, what about one by airplane? Like a US or Canada weekend trip?
Okay, if I'm going by airplane, how far can we go? Because
it's a weekend. What do you define as a weekend trip? Like I wouldn't define Vancouver as a weekend trip destination.
No, but you know where I have gone for a weekend? Actually, it's a little bit outside because it takes a little bit longer to get there, but I would go to Charlottetown.
Oh, that's a good weekend.
Weekend
no, that's
trip,
a good
sure.
weekend. And it's like 1 hour time difference. Because I was going to say Halifax is a weekend trip destination.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So, yeah. East Coast. Avi, East Coast.
Honestly, if anyone
East Coast.
Who hasn't been to the East Coast, who
this
lives
is
in
your,
Canada.
How have you not gone already?
It feels, and no hate, because I know we have a ton of people who live there that know how amazing it is. But like the people who have never gone are sleeping on it.
Sleeping on it.
And I'm,
sleeping
I
on
don't
it.
Understand how.
I don't know. I would personally try to be the tourism for like the city of Halifax, essentially, and then for Nova Scotia. But anyways, I was going to say for a weekend trip, not in the wintertime, maybe in the winter, but maybe not in the wintertime. but Halifax, because I just think it's the perfect, like, you can do everything you want to in a couple days. In an American city, I would love Chicago as a weekend trip destination. You can take a Billy Bishop flight.
Okay, yeah. I drove once. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a great experience in Chicago my first time. It was the dead of winter, though. So cold.
No, I got to go to the summertime. Go to a Cubs game. Wrigleyville is so fun. It's like day drinking, and there's all these really cool bars. And like, Chicago's a really good weekend trip destination. New York, Boston, any of those spots. New York's a go-to for me. I know, same. If I had a weekend off, I would go to New York. And it doesn't matter what time of year, like any time of year. But driving, I would say, I don't know.
Would you go up to, like, you know what? Blue Mountain?
Blue Mountain's a good driving.
I don't even ski or snowboard, and I'll go up there.
And I like the little village. I went there for work last year, and it was like I stayed in Blue Mountain Village because I never used to get the hype.
Yeah.
But then I stayed in the Blue Mountain Village, and I go, oh, I kind of get the hype of it now. Like, I understand, like, why people come here. Because even if you don't ski or snowboard, they have, like, all these little restaurants and shops, and it's all vibey.
The spa's out there. Spa's great.
There's
the
a spa out there, really too. Good. Yeah, I would say Blue Mountain's a good, like, drivable, like, and little weekend trip.
If you want a little bit further, but if you're in and it's the summertime, go up to Tobermory.
Kind of liked the chaos of this mailbag. Oh my God, I just called it mailbag. What is this? January 2023. My God, I loved the chaos of this voicemail. Maybe we should just do it this way from now on. I kind of liked it. Puts us on our toes.
In the moment, yeah. And we came up with some interesting
things. Like, I don't think you're bringing Big Bird to dinner if we don't
do that. Well, probably not. Probably not.
As always, if you want to send us a voicemail question, I mean, normally you can email us or send us a note on Instagram at Talking Fast Show, but also join the broadcast channel, POV, You're All My Close Friends. That's where we crowdsourced all these today's. Thank you to everybody that sent us a question so last minute. I really appreciate it. And I hope you guys enjoyed the chaos of this monthly voicemail for December. As always, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, thumbs up, rate us 5 stars. Let's end the year strong. We don't quite have a 5-star rating on Spotify specifically, so if you could all rate five stars.
That episode next week, the holiday one, is going to get us 5 stars by everyone.
The holiday episode is an all-timer, in my opinion. So make sure
and you watch the video version of that one.
Yeah, yeah. We have an incredible set here at Soda Studios for that, so make sure you watch the full video version. I've been Sarah. That's been Jacob. We will be here every single Wednesday. Bye.